Would you please turn your Bible to John chapter 11? No, it's something that is different. Yes, you are right. This is the wrong passage. But let me tell you why. Because I have changed the subject and then also the passage. Because last week I was my heart was stirred in the graduation. Young lady came to me after the graduate service and said, "How's Reverend Toh?" I said, "Well, he's okay. He's physically weak, but his mind is lucid, and at the nursing I find his condition has improved better." Then I said to her, "It's okay. He's all right." And then, but he said, "Didn't you hear in the worship service that it's been said that the doctors only gave him 6 months to 12 years, 12 months, 6 to 12 months to live?" I said, "Is that so?" Actually, I missed that particular part. And I asked her, "You sure?" "Yeah, it was mentioned at the pulpit." And so I confirmed with many few others, even with my wife, did the chairman say that? And then he said, "Yeah." And so, did he say because that the doctors had said that he could live only for 6 to 12 months, but praise the Lord, today he is still kicking and around after almost 2 years? Did he say that? No, he said that the doctors have said, and in fact, later on I checked with Mrs. Toh, and Mrs. Toh said, actually the doctors, the team of doctors and one of the representatives had apologized, knowing that now he has survived to now, and apologized and said, "I'm very sorry to have predicted that he..." And so I was stirred my heart to, because of all these things, we sometimes are worried about our life here, which is unnecessary. So now I have changed it. Does God want us to live or to die? Does life and death are in the hands of God or not? So that would be my theme. And so if you have your Bible with you, could you please just turn to one passage, a very familiar passage, and that's John chapter 11, and then beginning from verse 38. Verse 38, let me read to you. "Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of..." "Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, and because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with him with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loosed him, and let him go." May the Lord add this, the reading of his word here. And you all know this particular passage, the context of it, and you will find that Mary and Martha, they were the brothers, they were the sisters of Lazarus, and then they loved Lazarus. Lazarus died, was going to die at that time, was very ill, and they sent someone to call the Lord Jesus Christ to come quickly. And the Lord Jesus Christ, because many other people were pressing him, there were more urgent things at that time, the Lord Jesus Christ delayed in coming. And then because of his delay, Lazarus died. And so he came. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, "Okay, let's go now to see Lazarus and to wake him up And Thomas at that time said, "Is that so? If you are waking up, there's no need to be hurry and no need to go because he's asleep." And so the Lord Jesus Christ then said more plainly to the disciples, "Lazarus is dead." And so he went there. And then in fact Mary and Martha will say that, "Oh, if you had come, my brother wouldn't have died." And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I have the power of life and death. Do you believe? If you believe, then he will live again." And here we have this passage that he went to the tomb there. And then here the Lord Jesus Christ commanded. It's a good thing that the Lord Jesus Christ just mentioned Lazarus. "Lazarus, come forth!" If he had not mentioned Lazarus, everybody would have come forth. Yeah. But one of these days, yes, everybody is going to come forth. Yes, we Christians go up first. And after that, all those who are not Christians, all will come forth, all will rise up from the dead and will stand before a thrice holy God. Wonderful. So does God want us to live? In fact, quite some time ago, and Reverend Toh did say through Jeffrey Koo, that Reverend Toh did say that God wants us to live and not to die. That is very, very true. And so let us look at it, how we can. I think this particular truth is very important. I hope and pray that you all will know this truth. Remember it, and may it strengthen your heart. That who knows one day if you are sick and you may be afflicted with terminal diseases or illness, and then you will be downhearted, and maybe the doctor will tell you that you have only 3 months to live. And then you get all worried, and then you say you have no money some more, and everybody and your family members will try to borrow money and get into debt. And everybody talking about it unnecessarily. In fact, if you know this truth, it's unnecessary. Because whatever happens to you as a child of God, the Lord be praised. So let us look at the word of God. Did God want us to live? Was he desire that we should live? Let us look at it. Let us look. First of all, we know for a very fact when God has the power of life and death. We have just seen the Lord Jesus Christ here. Jesus Christ came to declare God, and he has the power of life and death. When God created man, and he breathed into man, and man became a living soul, said God gave him the power. And when man sinned against God, God says what? "If Adam, you disobey me," that means you sin against me, "you shall surely die." And Adam sinned, and man died. Surely died. Of course, that death, this doesn't mean physical death here on this earth, doesn't mean only that. In fact, the physical death on this earth here was God was very gracious. If God would have allowed man to live for many years, let's say, in fact, in the early days, in the dawn of time, when man sinned against God and God allowed them to live for 800 years, 900 years, and men were very, very wicked. All his thoughts were evil all the time. And God had to destroy all of them except, yes, and God was very gracious to Noah and his family. Not only to Noah only, not only to Noah, but his family. And God saved them so that they will carry on to live. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if God had allowed all of us here to live for 300, 400 years, what would become of this world? If our minds and our hearts are all evil, wow, I don't know how you're going to come here safe and sound. Yeah? And say God at that very time after the flood allowed man to live for 120 years only. That's wonderful. That's by the grace and mercy of God. Here on this earth. But that's not the end of life. That's not death. That means the end of everything. In fact, no. In the end, in the final analysis, there was this death, the second death. The death that we threw into the lake of fire. So we have here, we've seen very clearly that life and death are in the hands of God. God decides whether you live for 70 or plus 10 or 90 years. Or in the recent newspaper, you find a Japanese lady lived for 106 years and she told you exactly what to do in order to live for so many years. Now we see that. God is the one who decides. At the time when Paul himself said, when he was taken into heaven and then he came down, it's a better present to be with the Lord than to be here on this earth. But Paul says that it's needful for me to. So God continued, sent him back and then asked him to carry on. He knows that he knew that he had to carry on the work of God here on this earth. And then towards the end of his life, what did he say? I have fought a good fight, I have already run the race, and it's time for me to go. And that's it for all of us as Christians. So let us first of all know for the truth, your life and my life and our death are in the hands of God. How long we're going to live on this earth? In the hands of God. Alright. The next thing we learned, of course, is regard to the fact that God has created us for a purpose. God wants us to live. Where does it say in the Bible that God wants us to live? God says that in His desire, 2 Peter, okay, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is in the context of those scoffers who says, where is the Lord's coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then so Peter here answered, they say, yeah, the Lord sometimes tarries here concerning second coming, because if Christ comes back again, that's the end of everything. No more second chance for anybody else. No more second chance for anybody else to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels will come and divide between the sheep and the goat, the believers and the non-believers. And the believers will go into to be with the Lord forever and ever in the new heaven and new earth. But the non-believers have no more chance to be cast into the lake of fire. And so Peter here says, no, God's desire, he says, God's desire, this is the desiderative will of God, is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and live. In Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 21, but if the wicked will turn from his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is right and lawful, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Now first of all, if the wicked will turn from his wicked ways, that if the wicked will repent and keep all my statutes and that which is lawful and right, that means come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall live, he shall surely live and shall not die. That's God's word. He shall surely live. So God wants a man to live. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned. And his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. And this righteousness comes from God. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. When you repent, believe, you are clothed with that righteousness, Christ, and all your sins are forgiven. Forgiven, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, as the Bible says, as the Word of God says, that your sins is cast away. From the as far as the east and the west, God remembers them no more. And so in verse 23 of Ezekiel chapter 18, he says, Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Answer? And not that he should return from his ways and live? Answer? God wants us to live. God has created men for what? God has created men for his pleasure. That man will enjoy him. Man will know him, who he is, praise him, and enjoy him, and thank him. That's what God has created us for. And not for a short time, for all eternity. And when men sin against him, as God says, you shall surely die. And not only that physical death on this earth, because God has a plan here, in order that to be cast into the lake fire and will be separated from him forever and ever. God, that was not in God's plan, God's desire that man should live. And so he even provided the way, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of you who have received in the Lord Jesus Christ, sincerely believe in him, you are going to live with Christ, with God. And here on this earth also, he wants you to live here, to live a life, abundant life, as Christ himself said, that he came that you might have life, and have life abundantly. And that abundantly means God wants you to be here on this earth as you live, to live for him, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, to serve him. And that is the purpose that God wants you to. Because the real life will come after, in the new heaven and new earth. But at this present moment, God wants you to live for him in order to fulfill, to do his will, to preach the gospel that many who hear may come to believe. That was one. At the same time, to read and study his word, to grow spiritually, to be ready for the new heaven and new earth. And the same time, as you group together here from different background, you come together as a body of Christ to love one another, to care for one another. What a fellowship, what a wonderful community this is, Christian community in true life. If we do, that's what God wants us to have. So wonderful. And at the same time, work together serving the Lord. That is in God's will. That's God's desire. He doesn't want us to die, or many of us just to exist here on this earth. Even though we are, some of us are so Christians, and we amass a lot of things, nothing wrong with amass of working hard and then earning a lot of salary, nothing wrong with that. In fact, he wants you, he has put you, he has blessed you, and how you can really use all those resources, all those blessings, in order to advance his kingdom, and then to care for one another, to love one another. How wonderful it is. And if that is so, every day, I think, every Sunday, all of you would come. Every day we think of one another, you see how wonderful it is. Maybe you will make arrangements to see your fellow Christians during the week, and on Sunday you will be really waiting to come. On Saturday you make preparations, on Sunday you'll come here early. You want to meet your friends, you want to worship God together, you are happy in your heart, not dragging, because God is here, God is present. I am a Christian, and this is God's desire, and I want to be together. This is wonderful. This is really what God's desire is. How great and wonderful it is. Do you have proofs? Yes, I believe so. Right from the very beginning, right from the beginning of time, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. God took him away. Well, some people say that today, some people say that I don't want to die, I want to wait until the rapture so I don't have to go through that the throes of death. Some people say, well, that it's okay, it's good for you to have that wish. And some people also say that I like to die and see what it's like, and then because when you die, we go up to heaven first. You don't want to go to heaven first, you want to wait for the rapture. If I die today, I go there first, then I'll be welcoming you. I'll be coming down with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say that. That's okay. That's okay. So Enoch walked with God, and God took him home. So wonderful it is. And then Noah found grace. Noah and his family. And that tells us very plainly here, God deals with us as a family. And so when you are righteous, you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you better share the gospel with your family members. If you both are non-Christians, and one of you become a Christian first, and then you go back and then you just share the gospel with your spouse, and then your spouse is so very stubborn and will not, and then you come right and say, it's impossible, cannot. You never say impossible, cannot. You cannot say that, you understand? Because you have no power. None of us have the power to convert another person. None of us. But all of us can what? Share the gospel. All of us can, and that's what we should do. Prayerfully share the gospel, the conversion of our spouses and our family members belongs to God. And God here deals with us as a family, so we have a responsibility to tell. You pray, but you must preach. You cannot pray, Lord, save him, and then do nothing. No, Lord, save him, do something. Go and tell him the gospel. As Paul himself said, how can they believe even there's no preacher? How can they believe the gospel if nobody tells them about the gospel? How can they believe in God when nobody tells them about God's word and what God says? How can they ever believe if we don't even say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We don't say all those things, and then we just pray, Father, oh, may my wife come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we just say that and then do nothing. Cannot. We must do something and let God work. And we know that God treats us as a family. And so we got to Noah. Yeah, God could have destroyed everyone because Noah found grace. Noah is the one who walked with God, who obeyed God. And so God was gracious to him. God could have destroyed him for everybody, and that's the end of the world. But not, God did not create the world in vain. And so God saved Noah and his family. That's God's desire. God wants us to live. What were the children of Israel? Yes. And how they were in Egypt, and how they were being enslaved. And yet God led them all out and to the promised land. Another classic example of a Gentile, Naaman, and he suffered from leprosy. He's a leper. And at that time, leprosy has no, there's no medicine for it. It's an incurable sickness. And so God had mercy on him, on Naaman, and asked him just simply, I just got to do something, simply asked him to wash himself, dip himself 7 times in the river Jordan. And Naaman just did not like that, huh? Because the river Jordan is more murky, more muddy than the rivers in Syria. Wow, it is so beautiful, those rivers. But he went. Anyway, he went. And he was healed. God wanted him to live also. Life and death are in the power of God. What about the New Testament? The Lord Jesus Christ came to declare God, and he came, and the Lord Jesus Christ showed that he wants people to live. In fact, yes, we have just read Lazarus, he won. So it's very wonderful that he's gracious to all his people, and he wants them to live, and to live for him. What about a more modern or recent example? Is there such a one? I think there are many through the history of the church. In fact, I've also read some of the missionaries that have gone abroad and how they were being mistreated, and some of them. And then God, you see, in God, it's in God's will sometimes they live or they do not. And God protected them. Yes, and there are some. But more recent, which many of you also know, is Pastor Peter Clement. Pastor Peter Clement, some 6 years ago, was diagnosed with a very weak heart. And then when they found out that he has a faulty valve in the heart. And so that was a very simple operation, just to go in, open up, and then change the valve. So he went there, and I had this dinner with, together with another brother, dinner with him, just before his operation. He came, and then he was admitted to the best hospital in Melbourne, with the best surgeon there, a team of surgeons. And so he was operated on. When they opened up the first operation, just to change the valve, that the team was, and they changed. When they opened up, they saw that part of his heart there, he cannot, that valve cannot function efficiently because the heart has been inflicted with some cancer. But their purpose was to change only that valve. So they did it. And they did not treat anything else. And that was 5 hours. Then they stitched up. Then a team of doctors sat down together and said, we cannot just leave the man like this. They also found out, at the same time, they also found out that there was cancer in his liver, and it cannot be operated without removing the whole liver, complete liver. So they left it. They stitched it up. And then they sat down and they discussed what to do. And with regard to their heart, that part, they said that they have to do something. So what do? Immediately, they open him up again. And I believe that they must have injected another dose in order to keep him to asleep. How many hours more this second operation? 7 hours. Altogether 12 hours within that time. So after that, I went to visit him. Of course, he did not wake up. He was under this oxygen thing and all this mask. He didn't even wake up after 3 days. After 3 days, he woke up, began to be able to speak to somebody. 3 days. And what did the doctor say about him? The doctor gave him 3 months. 3 months to live. I think we all can agree, at that time you look at his condition, he got this cancer of the liver, and then also the heart been affected, and then the valve cannot function well. We could see, therefore, the effect of the operation of his body now. You know, his legs were swollen, and then he got constantly, there's a fluid accumulated in his abdomen and the lungs, and then they have to just drain those things out. These are the post-operative complications for almost a year. He went in and out. At the same time, he suffered from a kind of nose bleeding, you know. Sometimes you have nose, and whenever his nose bleeds, we always sometimes nose bleed, okay, sometimes we do this, okay. But in his case, nose bleed, the blood just flow like tap. Every time it's 1 liter of blood, you know. So he has to go for blood transfusion. These are all happening. 1 year. So maybe the doctor said 3 months. 6 months later, he went to have a real checkup. The doctor said, "What? You're still around? Why you're still around? My friend, he is still around." Let me read to you what he said recently. Just only recently, May the 6th, he wrote this email, this recent email. Let me read the part for it. "Greetings once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This comes to you on an overcast afternoon and a cold day. Since Easter, the cold has really set in, and Darwin and Singapore have become more attractive with every frost we have. Health-wise, I have been traveling quite well, adjusting the blood thickness down from 5 per day to only 4. It increases mobility somewhat. Legs is not looking too bad either, and it appears I will be in reasonable shape for the travel coming up at the end of the month. On the 26th May, there is the drive to Melbourne that takes around 6 hours or a bit more. The next day is the flight to Darwin that is 4 or 5 hours. Then later in the week, we fly to Singapore. The rest stop in between will be a Bob Hub. Has extended periods on planes that don't seem to do a lot for me. So I have the fishing lined out for alternative accommodation in Darwin, and we return around in mid-June. The place I stayed last year is still a possibility, but I'm looking for private board or a granny flat if that is possible. Commit thy ways to the Lord." And so this is the first part. You see here, the doctor say what? 3 months. He lived how many years? 6 years. Now is he half dead? Bedridden? No! You see, he's traveling. He's so happy. The joy of the Lord is his strength. He continues to ride. In fact, after the operation, when he was well enough, slightly later, he could write the bulletin. And he preached. And after he had preached that time, he was so weak, he just go to bed and rest. And today, he's still continuing to do the work of the Lord. God wants him to what? To live. Live for him, to do his will. And he's joyful. Now even open ways, places for him to go. What does all this mean to us? Isn't this a great truth and great encouragement? Number one to you, if you are still an unbeliever, repent of your sins. Acknowledge God, obey him, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you, because God desires that none should perish, but all come to repentance, believe in Christ, and live forever. None should perish in the lake of fire. God wants you to be with him. He wants your fellowship, and that you may enjoy him. What does it all mean to you if you are a believer? In whatever state you are, God desires that you live. And live a purposeful and live a purposeful and meaningful and fruitful life doing His will. That's what God wants you and me to do. So watch that. He wants you. And if you are in dire straits, trust the Lord and do whatever you need to do. Whatever you need to do, you do. Whatever the circumstances or consequences, repent and return to Him and do what is right before Him. Walk with God and He will carry you through. Ignore what others say. Sometimes they say they may be Christians even. No, but read the Word of God and know what God says. Trust Him. What God says, He wants you and me to live and live a life which is abundant. So trust the Lord. Life and death are in His hands. And let's say if you are sick and truly you are afflicted with a terminal disease, then you do your very best. You still, if you can, you carry on the work of God. And if God should say, yes, time for you to go, isn't it wonderful? Then you'll be relieved of all the pain here and go and be with the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, you will see all your previous friends here there. You see Paul there, Abraham there, Moses there, Enoch there, Noah there, and others. Isn't it wonderful? You still want to be here on this earth? Yes. God gives you the life on this earth. You live for Him. Live for Him. That's it should be. And if not, if He doesn't heal you, in the case of what? Peter Clemens, Pastor Peter Clemens. I don't know whether the cancer, I think the cancer is still in his liver. And so you see, it's plateaued out. How God can sustain him that way? Alright? And he still has that life. He's still enjoying his life because his joy is in terms of the joy of the Lord. His joy is in terms of who God is. Not of who, how much money he has. No. That should be our way. Our joy should only be in terms of who God, my God, is. And my God is caring for me, loving me. He wants me to live a life which is abundantly. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is my God. He even spared not His Son to die for me. Will not He give me many good things? Sure, God says, I will. It's only our part. Change our thinking. Alright, change on it. God did not ask you to be a hermit. No. Change our thinking. God has dealt with us so differently and blessed us differently because He has a particular work for you and me to fulfill His will. How wonderful it is. Whether you are rich or you are poor, right? God has a particular ministry for you and me. And then both the rich and the poor would have the same kind of happiness and joy, meaningful in life, in us. Doesn't matter how wonderful. So let us hope this truth will remain in our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this word. And we pray, Father, that this wonderful truth will free us and make us strong and live for You to the praise and glory of Your name. As we pray, and ask You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.